And welcome back, everybody, to another episode of Benched with Bubba, episode 638. Going to continue our team-by-team previews for the 2024 fantasy baseball season. We're in the NL East, talking some New York Mets baseball. Fun team. More offense than years past, it feels like, kind of looking at them. Pitching is the question mark for me. So to help me dig into this team and get some more information about this team, it's a good friend of mine, good friend of the shows, you know, OC overall champion, NFBC beast, just continually puts up W after W. Hashtag one time is a popular one out there. We can find him on Twitter at @_Gilds. Gilds, how we doing, my friend?
Hey, Bubba. Doing well. Thanks for having me on, as always.
Always, man. Great to chat with you and have some fun. And good to see you getting your feet wet in the fantasy game now that football's winding down. So I guess I asked you what you drafted already before, but just for fun, what like stands out maybe surprise wise early, like first looks like you're looking at, like what really stood out to surprise you?
Just in general?
Yeah, in general.
I think pitching is interesting, especially early this year. You know, we used to get like a bunch of those pitchers in the first, second rounds. And now you're seeing like, you know, Strider mid first, Burns into the second, and then, you know, you have, you know, your aces in the third, a few of them, but then it's kind of pick who you like after that. You know what I mean? There's not, at least not yet, the pockets haven't really solidified yet in the pitching. So I'm interested to see how that, you know, moves as we get closer to March.
Yeah, I totally agree. I was looking at the pitching actually on a show earlier today, and it's almost like ADP 52 through 65 is almost all starting pitchers. That it's going to be one of those. I was joking with Bloomfield, like when we recap the positions and you see like you could have went this player or this player, this one crushed your team, this one didn't. There's a lot of that in that world right there. Like you said, they haven't really solidified yet, and that'll be fun to see where it all kind of, where all the cookies crumble, as they say, as draft season ramps up, because things will tighten up for sure.
So. And then I've noticed too, like in the OCs, I'm sure we'll talk about, it's, you know, your draft spot is going to dictate a lot of what your team looks like at the end. And I feel like, you know, especially at the top, there's a huge, you know, of course with Acuna, but even Carroll and Julio, those guys, The way it sets up now, ADP wise, you can grab, you know, those early, you get, you know, a good bat in the second, and you're getting one of those Burns, Wheeler, Castillo type. So, you know, it kind of falls off in that mid third. So I think the advantage at the top is even more distinct this year than ever. So at least that's my early thoughts.
No, yeah, I'm on lockstep with you on that. And I've been the idiot drafting since November. You just started. But it's definitely that first, like I'll go as far as five picks in the round.
Yeah.
You can really have a nice like 3 to 4 round start with that first five, where you feel so much more comfortable, at least where that back end, you're sitting there looking at things. And when it comes back to you in round three, you got some big decisions to make on how you want to keep forming this squad. So,
yep, exactly.
It'll be fun to see how that pans out. We will definitely talk about that in the future, because I will have you on again to talk some of that goodness. Let's talk some New York Mets here, and let's talk just real quick before we do 2024. As a Mets fan, how did 2023 go for you? Because a lot of money was spent. Yeah. Results weren't there.
Yeah, no, I mean, it was a disaster, right? Any way you slice it. We had really high expectations going in. We had, you know, Max. We had Verlander. The offense coming off a 101 win, you know, team the year prior. I mean, it was aligning for just a magic season. And it just went like disaster right away. I remember Verlander got hurt that first month before the season even started. So we're like, typical, you know, Mets fashion here. And then you just watch Scherzer just be a disaster. I mean, every big game the Mets had, and pretty much his whole stint here, he lost. Like, he pitched great, you know, in every other game, or, you know, at least well. But any big game the Mets had, whether it was a series win, playoff, and he just crumbles like in a big spot. And he's like the number one villain for Mets fans now. It's just like, we can't. No more Max. We're happy to see that. So, and, you know, they turned Max and Verlander, I'm sure we'll talk about it, you know, at the end there, into, you know, these stud prospects. So, you know, Steve essentially bought a farm system last year. So that was the, you know, the positive of it, that he, you know, refuel that farm system that was, really pretty, poor compared to the rest of the league. So I've never seen anyone buy, a farm before, or prospects like he did, and it's just wild. But new year, new team, in a lot of different areas. So, I'm happy to talk about it.
Yeah, for sure. It'll be fun. The offense, though, will start there. And a lot of that is intact. Not all of it, obviously, but a lot of it's intact. So it'll be interesting to see if, it goes from that team, very, very talented offensive team 2 years ago, still good in their own respect last year. But can they keep that train rolling to pick up some more dubs this year? And we'll start with the man, Big Meat Pete, the polar bear, Pete Alonso. Love this guy. And it's fun watching him right now in the draft world because that ADP of almost 30, basically, min of 24, max of 40. The 40 would have been a gift from the gods in that one. But the dude still hit 46 home runs last year, most of his, well, since 2019, with a 217 average. And that's what everyone points to is the 217. But like the BABIP's been documented and other factors. What's your thoughts on Alonso? Because we talked off the air, but I want to hear your thoughts for the listeners here.
Yeah, he's my favorite pick now in the early rounds. I absolutely love Pete's cost. Like you said, owners see that 217 average, and that's kind of why he's going where he's going right now. But he hit into a lot of bad luck last year. That injury sapped a lot of his power, well, not power, but just his play. I mean, he was, I think it was in June. We thought he'd be out for like a month, maybe more, and he came back like 2 weeks later. I mean, he was dreadful for that whole month. So I think the injury, sapped a lot of his production, at least, hitting wise. But it would not shock me if he gets back to that, that 260-ish level, another 45 homers, 110 ribbies, 100 runs, 90, 90 plus runs. Just getting that kind of bat to pair with the top of the draft, that's where he's going now. I mean, you're getting tons of steals, tons of power. So, yeah, I would love Pete where he's going, and I expect him to bounce back to his usual form.
Yep, we're on the same page there. I'm expecting big things. I'm just kind of ignoring that batting average. Go hit me 260 or whatever you want to do, and I can live with that with the 40, I'd say 45 plus home runs. And it's one of those things we've talked about in years past, and it's been an emphasis of mine in recent years is not forgetting power, focusing more on power early, because whatever late power you can find is usually dead power. So that crushes you in one way. And so it makes the guys like people talk Matt Olson, his ADP is too high for me this year. But he had an amazing year, and there's reasons people talked about him is because he had that power. Well, Pete's done it like every season, basically. Like it's a Pete Alonso deal. So when you can pencil in the 40 homers with the increased steals, you can get all over the place and everything else. It's pretty impressive. So like 200 plus runs in RBIs. I'm on board with Pete Alonso in a big way. And I think this is one of those where this time next year, if we chat, it'll be. He's a early second round guy potentially or something, and that's the way it
Yeah,
goes.
right. Yeah, and exactly. And again, just where he's falling right now, it's just such an easy click to pair with that first, top five pick. And I'm really hoping he stays in that 25 to 30 range, but I got a feeling he's going to be moving up as we get closer. So we'll see.
100%. Let's go to the shortstop position here, Francisco Lindor. Coming in with a very nice ADP of 25, starting to flash that early Lindor days where he was a late first, early second round pick. Last year went 31-31, which is the first time he's done that in his career, which is impressive. 254 average, which is getting back to kind of the norm. Even he's usually a little higher than that, even. But the dude was just awesome on the bases a ton, scoring all the time. Played 160 games, which is tremendous. I love Frenchie, and I think he just gets way overlooked in this. Like the stats he puts up, why is he not more in the first round discussion? I don't know, but he's a beast.
Yeah, no, I echo all of that, Bubba. Yeah, I mean, not to sound too homerish, but I mean, I love the where those guys are going this year. I mean, like you said, he's, penciling in for 160 games. I mean, that's the thing though too. You're a little leery. I mean, he's a volume guy, right? So
Yep.
you want, but he does a lot with that volume, obviously. So yeah, I mean, there's to me, he's as safe a pick as you get, like in a second round, and easily could return first round value. So there's not much to not like about Frankie this year. And yeah, he's kind of, back to his early Cleveland days. I mean, that's essentially what he's doing every year.
Yeah, he's absolutely beasting out, and I'm looking forward to seeing where it keeps going on this one. Now it gets a little more curious, and I really want to get the Mets' thought process on this one. That's Starling Marte, because it's we've kind of all acknowledged the power is not going to be what it was in 18 and 19, but the steals should be. He still stole 24 bags last year in a season that feels like should be forgotten almost, which says a lot. 248 average. Right now he's got an ADP of 220, almost 228 since January 1st. So how are we looking at Starling Marte? Like, what are you, maybe you've heard anything about him? I look at him in draft rooms, and I don't know if I can click the draft button right now.
Yeah, I mean, I don't love it. It's always health with Marte. I mean, he's one of those guys, if you could get him like in a daily league, in a daily format, he's much more appealing to me there. But I mean, where's his price now? I don't even look at it.
228-ish, give or take.
Yeah, I mean, as like a fifth outfielder type, I don't hate it. I mean, he's not a guy I'm targeting though either. It's like when he's out there, he produces for the most part. I mean, last year, he did have the 24 steals. His power was, pretty down though, five homers and 315 at bat. So, I mean, yeah, he's not a guy I'm targeting. I'm sure he could do worse. Again, it's just really with him, it's just health and what does he really have left at this point? But I mean, he's one of the Mets fantasy wise that I'm not too high on, at least.
I was surprised. I think it was in the Mexican League this winter, maybe one of those leagues. Maybe Dominican or Venezuelan. I don't know. He played the whole thing. Like he played, so he's. I think he's trying to get healthy. I don't know. Like, but I was surprised the Mets even let him. I would be like, no, you stay completely away from baseball
Right.
until you come back.
Exactly. Yeah. So that's, yeah. I mean, how old is he now? He's getting up there in age too, Starlin, right?
Yeah, starting
35
Martin.
years old.
Yeah.
You wonder how much he's going to run still. So, I mean, yeah, it's not a guy I'm going after for sure.
No.
But again, daily leagues, that's a guy that's a lot more valuable.
100%. Let's go to Brandon Nimmo, who this time last year I was like, okay, congratulations. You played a full season basically. I'm not drafting you, I'm ignoring you. Well, after 151 games, played 152 last year, so he shut me up. That was good. And he hit 274 with 24 jacks. Really productive stuff there from Nimmo. Right now, his ADP is close to 200. What are your thoughts on Nimmo this season?
He's solid. Nimmo is one of those guys you kind of know what you're going to get from him, right? The steals are not going to be there. He's going to hit you, decent power, right? He's going to, give you an average. It's not going to hurt you. He just, the speed kind of is what, draws me away from him a lot too. I mean, as a fifth outfielder, again, similar to Marte, I don't mind it. He's going to, a guy that you're, happy to throw out there every week in your lineup. I just don't think you're not going to get a difference maker, at least in fantasy. But yeah, I mean, there's a lot worse fantasy outfielders than Nimmo.
100%. Yeah, no, I'm at least more inclined to him this year. Still don't think I have any shares of Brandon Nimmo, but like the old running saying, OBP league, he's awesome. But
Yep.
yeah, in our standard 5x5, it's a little, I don't know, it's still hard for me to click that button with Brandon Nimmo.
And he's so, Nimmo is probably one of the streakiest hitters ever. It's like, I had him on 1 main, I think, last year, and he'd go 0 for 30 stretch, right? And then you put him on your bench, and then next week, that's when he wakes up and hits four or five homers and just is on fire while you're watching that production on your bench. But it's just a streaky guy. The numbers, if he's stays healthy, they'll be there. But again, the speed and the lack of speed is kind of what steers me away most drafts.
Yeah, for sure. Let's talk Jeff McNeil. Projected hit top near the top of the order behind Nimmo, I believe, for the Mets. Last year, 10 homers, 10 stolen bases, 156 games, hit 270. It's just kind of like a flat stat line that doesn't do much for me. His ADP is 285 right now. Any interest in Jeff McNeil? He's like more real life than fantasy these days.
Yeah, exactly. He's a much better real life player. It's just funny too, because I've heard his take before too. Luis Urias goes, what, 150 picks before
Sorry.
McNeil?
Yeah.
It's like you're getting pretty much the same player. So that gap in ADP is kind of odd. Yeah, I mean, McNeil's gonna, he's a guy, if you have a lot of, batting average anchors early, need to get that solid base of batting average. He's a cheap batting average guy late. But again, you don't want to be playing, a one category guy most weeks. But I mean, it did go what, 10 homers, 10 steals. We're not going to see that 2019 power. I think he hit like 20, 23 homers, something like that. That was the outlier. So
100%.
yeah, I mean, he's a boring batting average late draft pick, really.
I like the Luis Arraez kind of comp though, because that's the like when I saw the stat line right out the game, I'm like, this is Luis Arraez. What are we doing here? So it makes a ton of sense in that regard. And yeah, hitting second, get on base for Pete Alonso and this guy. So if you guys have popcorn, get it ready, because Gils loves this catcher, loves him in a big way. And this is one, Francisco Alvarez. He got his first like long cup of coffee, 123 games in 2023, 25 home runs to go with a 209 batting average. Alvarez has an ADP of 145 right now, going right before Sean Murphy in the catching position, right behind Wilson Contreras. So what are your thoughts on Francisco? I know you're a big fan of this kid.
Yeah, I love him. I love him this year. I love him as a player. I love him in fantasy where he's going. I think he's what, 10th, 11th catcher off the board. It's actually going around pick, I think he said 150. I mean, huge ceiling, right? I mean, we saw that even last year. I know that the batting average is going to scare people off, and that's why he's going where he's going right now. But I mean, this is a guy who could also DH, right? The Mets, they're rumored to be looking for a DH. Soler is one guy, but if they don't sign someone, they're gonna, play Frankie at DH, Francisco a lot at DH this year. So you're gonna get those extra ABs, I think. The power is legit. You're gonna see if he hits 30 plus homers, it can knock in, 80, 90 runs. Again, I don't, he's not a 210 hitter. You're probably gonna get somewhere in that 230, 240 range, but getting a catcher with that kind of production, pick 150. Yeah, I mean, that's, I love that. So he's definitely a guy I'm targeting.
I know you're a big fan. I have nothing wrong with Francisco. I just wait on catcher a little longer, but yeah, no qualms. No qualms against Francisco Alvarez, that's for darn sure.
And he's fun to watch, man. Like,
Heck
just
yeah.
as a fan, I mean, he plays with just, it's just crazy, just so much, intensity, right? For a kid. And he's mature like that. I mean, it's, yeah, I think he's in for a big year. I really do.
And I do agree, like people that complain about the batting average due to his age and just first time
So
there.
young.
Yeah, like
Yeah.
he's going to develop into something a little better than that. I can, like,
And
230, 240 is very doable.
this is a former, like, what, he was number one overall prospect, right? And a lot of the guys live. I mean, this is huge pedigree. So I mean, he's supposed to be, a star player. And if it's not this year, maybe it's next year, but I'm willing to bet we're going to see some big things.
100%. Yep, I'm with you on that one. One of the Mets' newer offensive acquisitions this year is Harrison Bader. He had some injuries to deal with the last few years. Last year, 7 homers, 20 steals, though. He still runs a lot of Starling Marte in this profile, except Bader's younger and plays really, really good defense. And Bader also goes about 100 picks after Marte with a 393 ADP. Does that interest you at all?
Oh yeah, I love Bader this year. I love his price. I actually took him, I think, in two to three drafts. I did. I mean, he's a power speed guy, right? And he's gonna play center field every day. So again, he's probably gonna hit ninth in front of Nimmo, who takes a million pitches. So he's gonna have a lot of, time to run on those bases. So yeah, as long as he's playing for this price, yeah, I'm all about taking him there. I think there's a lot of opportunity to profit on a guy like this. And a lot of people, they left a bitter taste in his owner's mouth. Last year he gets hurt a ton, right? But if he's playing, he's a guy that should be in your roto lineup every week, at least as a fifth outfielder. So that's it. Just hopefully he stays healthy. But again, you're investing next to nothing on that pick. So to me, it's all upside. It's all reward at that cost.
Yeah, I've started to come that way as well. Once the Mets signed him, I haven't done any Fab leagues yet, but like in a couple DCs, I started looking at that price tag. I'm like, okay, this is definitely something I want to see. If he can just stay healthy and get back to, like you said, the power speed, get you 12 to 15 home runs to go with 25 stolen bases, which you could probably do. That's very, very much in range for Harrison Bader, which at ADP, like I said, almost 400. That's ridiculous.
Exactly. Yeah. You just play him when he's healthy. And if he's, you know, if he gets hurt, he's out a month, he's, you know, you could drop him at least in the 12. So a guy like that going that late, it's an easy pick for me.
All right, some of the platoon targets that the Mets have going these days, like they got DJ Stewart, who we saw a ton of pop from when he had a run last year. You got Brett Beatty, who still they're high on, but he has yet to fully deliver yet. Mark Vientos, big power, and hit pretty well towards the end of the season. And then Tyrone Taylor, who they got from the Brewers. Are any of these guys of interest? You can talk about them all if you want. If one, two, doesn't matter. Any of these guys fantasy interest for you?
Yeah, I think Beatty and Vientos of those four. I mean, Beatty, from what you're hearing, you know, they haven't signed a third baseman. They're going to give this kid another chance to play every day. You know, another high pedigree kid. And he struggled last year, definitely disappointed. But again, these rookies, you know, their first taste in the bigs. This is more common than uncommon, right? So, I think they're committing to giving Beatty every day at bats. And you know, that's another guy I'm willing to take that gamble in the 29th round of these fantasy drafts. Cause again, it's all upside, right? Mm-hmm. You're going to know pretty early if he's, you know, worth that pick or if they send him down and he's an easy drop. So, I like him a lot. And Vientos, he's interesting, right? Cause again, it's all about if they sign one of these DHs that they're rumored to sign. I mean, if they sign a Soler, Vientos is pretty much, you know, gone. Worthless. Yeah. So, but if he's the guy, if he's the DH, you know, opening day, you know, this is a guy with tremendous power. Another guy they had, you know, high hopes for, he's still young. So, those are the kind of late draft, you know, picks that I like to shoot for. And again, no risk that late and it's all upside. And, you know, I like going for those big power, big speed guys that have the chance to play. And we'll know, you know, as we get closer, if they really do or not.
Yeah, Beatty's ADP is around 356. Vientos, 517. Like, I was a big Vientos fan at the end of last year. Like you said, if they were to sign Soler or something, it'd be a big gut punch. But they'll see how it goes because Vientos does have ridiculous power. And that'd be fun to see every day. Let's head to the bump. Let's talk about one of my favorite pitchers to target early on in drafts here because you can get him at around that round four time in a 15-team league where it can be your second pitcher if you waited on pitching. Kota Senga. This was a fun season from Senga. First full season, first season period in the U.S., of course. Kind of a slow start. Control is an issue early. Really got things going late. I love the fact he threw 166 innings with a sub-3 ERA and the strikeouts were ridiculous. Right now, Cody's got a 65 ADP. So what's your thoughts on Kota Senga for his second trip through the bigs?
Yeah, I like the price a lot. I really do. I like where he's going in drafts. I think he's going to be a steady, you know, strikeout producer. You know, he's going to pitch to good ratios, you know, especially with that goes fork pitch, you know. The whip, you got to be a little leery of, right? Because there were times last year where he just had no control. And those starts, you got to be a little leery of. But overall, I mean, this is a guy I think, you know, should be a solid, you know, second pitcher fantasy under staff. The volume, you know, I'm not sure is going to be there, you know, with him, you know, pitching every fifth day. I know they kind of, they make, you know, adjustments for how we feel sometimes, you know, sometimes they push him back a little bit throughout the season. So, you know, you're probably looking at 170, 180 innings, I'd say, versus one of these big horses. But, I mean, for where he's going, I think he's a solid, you know, SP2. So, yeah.
Yeah. I'm a big fan, because, strikeouts, similar to the home runs for me, if I'm focusing, making sure the strikeouts, cause that gets rough the farther down the draft board you go. So if you compare him up as an SP2 to another guy with a ton of K's early, you can really propel yourself in that department. So I love some Kota Senga for that reason alone, amongst other things.
Yeah, actually, I had last OC, I took Senga. It was in the sixth round, and I had Snell staring at me right there, and I took it down to the wire. I'm like, Senga feels safer, right? Because we don't know where Snell's going and what the deal is there. But yeah, I might regret that depending on what team he ends up with. So
Well, Snell's the ceiling play. That's
yeah.
100% what that is. Yeah, Senga's
Yep.
the better floor play because, yeah, for multiple
Exactly.
reasons. So, yeah, that's a tough one, though, because, yeah, they are going right next to each other. So it's a
Yep.
very, that's that group I said. Just there's so many of them right there where pick your poison.
Yep.
This guy's not going right there. And that is Jose Quintana, who has an ADP of 409 right now. Quintana threw 75 innings last year for the Mets as he battled injuries and whatnot. 3.6 ERA. I think we kind of know who Quintana is, but what are we expecting? Is he worth any look in fantasy?
I mean, 12 teamers, no, but
Yeah.
I mean, in DC's, yeah, sure. I mean, I just took him, I think, in the 31st round in a DC. I mean, right there. I mean, something like that. Just a depth pitcher. Yeah, you kind of know what you're getting. You know, he's probably going to be around 3.8 ERA, you know, 120, 130 whip. Doesn't really strike out many guys. And, you know, but he's solid. He's not going to really crush it too much. So, again, yeah, OCs, that's not a guy you're really targeting or even drafting. But yeah, DC's, I don't mind him as a, you know, end of the staff pitcher.
Yeah, no, 100% a DC play for that innings that we always look for in those DCs, especially later in the draft. Luis Severino, one of the new Mets pitchers, and this is a guy that I've clowned for years and been pretty good about it for the most part. Last year was brutal for many, many ways for Luis Severino, but it's like the dude's going to be 30 this year. He's still not that far removed from being a pretty good pitcher that loves sticky stuff. What are your thoughts on him right now? Because he's got an ADP after 300. So there is at least not a steep price tag associated with maybe some potential.
Yeah, no, that's again, yeah, that's a guy I'm trying to target just because a lot of these Mets, like I was telling you know, before we started, I'm not too high on them in real life, right? They're an 80 win, 81 win over under type of team. But fantasy, I think their prices, these guys are well worth the cost because of the upside that, you know, exists there. So, and Sevy's a perfect guy, right? You're going to know, you know, pretty early on if he's still broken, you know, if he's the same guy we saw last year, and which would be a nightmare. But, you know, he's got a 1 year contract. He's playing in Citi Field now, not in the Bronx. You know, it's a good park to pitch in. We've all seen the videos of him working on his break pitches already. And, I mean, you know, would it shock anybody if he kind of reverted back to form? It wouldn't shock me, you know. So again, that's a guy I'm willing to just gamble on. And again, the cost is so nice now; it's all profit where he's going. So, yeah.
Yeah, that's why I've, like I said, I've started to at least acknowledge him when I look at the draft board where there's that upside play you're looking for late in a draft that he could definitely bring. And I think to me, he's more of a fab league play for me. I don't know if I can stomach the DC factor because if he sucks like
Yeah.
did for just a dead roster spot, releasing fab, like you said, you know where he, who he is, you can drop him, move on, things of those regards, which is interesting to me.
Yeah, definitely more of a fab league play. But just looking around the pictures he's gone around, like Michael Wacha, Reese Olson, you know, Lugo. I mean, you know, that pocket of pitching is so blah. It's like, why not take a chance that this guy reverts to form like he did a couple of years ago? And you know, that's how you win these overalls, man. You got to take some risk somewhere. And the risk is, you know, pick 270 in your
Yep.
draft. That's not really much of a risk. So,
100%. Yeah, I'm with you. I've been taking notes as you've whipped my butt the last few years, so I'm kind of paying attention a little bit. The next guy we're talking about is Sean Manaea. This one, honestly, and for anyone that's listened to my work long enough, knows the ups and downs I've had with Sean Manaea, and I usually clown on him religiously, but watching him as a Giant last year, I gained a lot of respect for him, and I really liked the way he finished the season. He was furious by the way the team used him early on, gave him a starter at the very end, and actually pitched really well, like looked really good. So I was like, okay, Melvin's coming back, give him a chance. No, the Mets got him instead. And you got Manaea, who, like I said, looked good the way he finished, ADP of 342. This is a dude I've been looking at late in drafts. I don't know about you, but I love that price tag.
Oh, same here. Same here. He's going way too cheap, I feel like. I don't know. You would have thought that signing, I mean, he's gonna pitch, right, for the Mets, a good park again. And you know, like you said, he was really good at the end of last year. And then they were messing with him, like you said, with the bullpen back and forth. But yeah, I mean, this is a guy that's had big years in the past, and he's going to pitch every fifth day for the Mets. I mean, I don't think he's going to be someone that kills your ratios. He's got, decent upside in the K department. So yeah, for that price, again, I look at these guys with the lens of draft price, and to me, that's a guy that I'd gladly take as my, SP 7, 8 in a draft and see where it goes.
Yeah, because he's one of those guys I can 100% see in leagues. If he were not drafted, he's either an early pickup or he's a dude that streamed so often throughout the season that at some point it's just like he should have been your SP7 or 8 that you could just plug in on every other week, basically. So, yeah,
And
there's
I
something
like
about
you.
Manaea. Yeah.
He's a gamer too, man. I like how he gets
100%.
into these games. Yeah, he gets into these games. So yeah, I like watching him, and hopefully he's good. They got him 2 years. I think it's 28 million. They didn't invest too heavily in him, but he's enough to be a fixture in that rotation. So you're getting a quality arm that late in drafts. I'll take that.
Yeah, it's like I said, when I was watching him up close last year, I gained a lot of respect for the pitcher he was, not just the goofy hair and all the home runs he gives up. Like there was something else there, and the competitive nature of it was a big part of that.
And the sweeper, right? That's what
Yep.
that everyone's
Everyone's got that
made
going now. And it helps off
that.
and I think he went to Driveline this offseason too, so you got that going
Yeah.
for you. If you want to throw that angle, which is a valid angle these days. So
Yep.
he picked that up too. Another new member of the Mets rotation is Adrian Hauser. People like to clown on Hauser because he's like kind of a soft tosser guy that doesn't strike out a ton, but he's a really good fifth starter in real life terms. And in fantasy, he has his moments, but an ADP of 540 guilds. Any interest here?
I mean, and in DC's, maybe if I'm stuck and 60 seconds is winding down fast on the clock, but no, I mean, not really any interest. I mean, I've seen this guy pitch. To me, he's like one of these guys you close your eyes if he's in your lineup that day and just hope he get, 5 innings, 3 runs, and call it a day. Yeah, I mean, he's going to be eight innings for the Mets. I don't envision much more of that, to be honest, but as far as fantasy goes, no, that's not a guy I'm targeting. Shouldn't be drafted in any 12s anyway.
Very true. Definitely no 12s. Let's head to the bullpen real quick, and then we'll talk. Are there any other potential starters we should be looking at on the team that aren't prospects? Because we can do prospects later, but are there any kind of guys you would be surprised if they got some chances this year?
Well, I mean, you got David Peterson, McGill still hanging around. They're going to get their share of starts, but again,
When's Peterson expected back? Do you know, like, roughly?
I don't know. The last I checked, it wasn't too far out.
Because he had hip surgery in November. I don't know if it's the same as Cobb. Cobb had hip surgery either late October or November. Cobb's supposed to miss like the first month maybe of the season.
Yeah,
So,
I thought I saw May. I could be wrong on
there's
that though.
similar timetables with Cobb then.
Yeah, you'll
Okay.
see him and McGill. They'll each get their 15 starts somewhere along the line. So, I mean, at times they've been decent, but again, yeah, you're not. I mean, these are waiver wire streamers you pick up, in July if they have two good matchups or something.
Man, Peterson's got that 644 DC ADP. I should probably pay a little more attention to that one. Because
Yeah.
he will get his starts. That'll be worth it in a DC from time to time.
Yeah.
All right.
He's scary though too. You
He's
gotta,
very, very,
oh
ratios can
man.
blow up in a hurry. In a
Hurry. Yeah. He had
hurry.
he's had some just horrific starts for this team. So yeah, he's scary, but there's other times he looks like he's flat out dominant. So he's kind of a Jekyll and Hyde.
100% agree. All right, cue the trumpets because he's back, everybody. Edwin Diaz back on the mound, and right now it's this is where like we comment a lot on shows and everything that the edges aren't as big as they once were. There still are edges, of course, but the community's smart. And with a guy like Edwin Diaz missing a whole year, you think some people might push him down or whatnot. No, he still has an ADP of I just had an ADP. I believe it's 34 right now. Or no,
It's
43, 43. So he's basically a third round. He's one of the first, like he's like the second or third closer off the board, which is kind of where he was when he left. He was at the top closer. He had a knee injury, not an arm injury. So I'm pretty like, okay, let's rock and roll, kid. So what's your thoughts on Diaz?
yeah, I love him. Absolutely love Diaz. I think I've already taken him on two of those three drafts, but Yeah, it was a knee injury, not an arm injury. And he's got even discounted more than that. I mean, he was going squarely in like the second round last year. So yeah, he's going around pick 50 in postseason. I mean, so you're getting, three, four round discount there. And yeah, I mean, that's a guy I'm taking. You take an ace early, you can take Diaz, we get that strikeout, upside too. Yeah, I love him. And he's one of the few guys, with closers that he's the guy, right? There's very few teams that have that guy in the back, and the Mets have one of them. So you're getting that security with a top flight closer. And yeah, like you said, it's people, I don't know if they think it's a UCL he tore or something, but no, it's in the knee. So he should be good to go and ready to rock.
Yep, I am all aboard that train. God forbid anything were to happen to him again. Are we looking Brooks Raley, or where do you think we go in the back of the bullpen?
Oh man, that would be really bad.
There's no WBC this year, so we got that out of the way.
I guess, yeah, rarely he saves some games. Jorge Lopez, they signed. I mean, he's had closing experience, right? A couple of years back. It'd probably be a mix and match of guys, honestly, if Diaz went down, and God forbid it happens, knock on wood, it doesn't. But yeah, I mean, it's Diaz. This guy's going to be out there every ninth for us. So just hope he stays healthy.
Sounds like a plan. All right, I'm not a prospect guy, so maybe we'll see what you know in the Mets world. If you're not, fair enough. But what do you think prospect wise coming up? They like you said, they basically bought a farm, but I don't know if they're all ready yet. So what are we thinking?
Yeah, that's the thing. I mean, they have Acuna's brother, Luis Angel Acuna. Jett Williams is one of their top guys, also shortstop. And Drew Gilbert are probably the three guys at the top. But like you said, I don't think any of them played into AAA last year. So those are probably call-ups. I want to say, maybe, mid-season, June, maybe if one of them is really, mashing in AAA. Acuna is probably, to me, the highest upside. I think he stole like 50 something bags and 120 games. But I think Gilbert actually might be the first call up.
So I was about to
They
say.
like him a lot. Yeah. And we'll see with McNeil playing, they could rotate him around. We get an injury with to Marte on the outfield. You never know. They love that kid's bat. So, yeah, I don't think any are going to start the year on the team, but definitely midseason. These are guys that you can see someone dropping $300 in FAB on or something, middle of June.
Yeah, Gilbert is definitely the one I kind of look at first, just because multiple outfield guys, multiple career history with injuries from time to time in those outfield positions. So that might be the first one to open up, where like you need Lindor to get out of the way for those other two guys, or I guess one, they could play second base, move
Play
McNeil somewhere
second.
else. Yeah, that'd be the angle too. But easier pathway for Gilbert, but you never know, anything's possible. So that would be interesting
It's
as
just,
well.
it's funny that they got those two guys in the Max and Verlander deals too.
Yep, and they already had
So,
Lindor like locked up, so there's something.
yeah,
Maybe they can get well, you never know, maybe Cunha goes, you know what, I'm gonna pick my brother, I'm gonna play the outfield.
You never know.
There's
Trust
angles.
the bloodlines there. So, I mean,
Well,
the fact that they gave him up for Scherzer too, which is wild, but that's what Steve Cohen does.
it's like they say with prospects, so it's almost like get the talent, we'll figure out what to do with the rest type thing,
Yeah.
and develop them.
And that's also why Steve Cohen, and I know a lot of Mets fans, including myself, were like, pissed about this offseason. He hasn't really done much, but he's trying to build a winner, long term, and he sees these kids are pretty close, if not this year, definitely next year. So he doesn't want to put a lot of money into these, free agents when we got these kids, coming up. So
Yeah, it makes no
I get
sense.
it. Yeah.
And it's also like there's some Mets fans, like every fan base has, that they're just kind of like naive to real baseball tactics and things and how things work. And
Right.
so they see like a year or two of them just spending every dime on the face of the planet. It's like, oh, we have all the money in the world, it doesn't matter anymore. And then this year he's taking it calm, not seeing the part you just mentioned, where it's like, okay, we're gonna build them up, and then when they get called up, then he'll spend a crap load of money to fill out the rest of the roster. Just let him
Yeah.
get there type thing.
Well, yeah, and he brought Stearns in from Milwaukee. that's the way he built those Brewers teams a lot
Very
too.
true.
So he's bringing that mentality, you know, to the
Well,
Mets. So.
and you guys have such a good offense compared to your pitching staff. It's like just save the money for the next round of pitchers that comes out. Like maybe these ones don't fit, so then wait another year when the prospects will get a pitcher then and go from there. Maybe they hey, maybe they're in the Burns trade because you got, you know, they brought
Burns,
the Brewers this turns over there.
Soto,
Yeah.
yeah, you're gonna see next year. He's gonna go crazy, Steve Cohen. I think he's just gonna. I think Juan Soto will be a Met. You know, you might see a Burns trade, something
That
like
would be
that.
wild to go from Yankees
Yeah,
to Mets in one of the seasons. That'd be
yeah.
awesome.
I got a good buddy who's a big Yankees fan. I said, just keep him healthy over in the Bronx for us for next year. So,
Oh, that would
yeah.
be that first Subway Series would be electric. That's all I know. That would be
Yeah,
something.
that would be wild. But you never know. The Mets, the thing with Mets, you know, we got an owner that likes to spend. So if we're, you know, we're out, you know, if we're in wild card contention, you know, we're three, four games out of it, he's not going to be a guy that's going to be scared to, you know, add to the team and supplement where they need to
Hundred
be.
percent.
So, I mean, you know, I'm down, you know, for the year, you know, overall, but, you know, if they made the playoffs as a wild card or something, that wouldn't shock me.
Dude, with these expanded playoffs, there's so many more teams that could run hot and
Yeah.
get in. It's wild. It's
Look at the D-backs last year. They won
yep.
like what 84 games, I
Yeah.
think. So
Ask the privileged teams in Southern California why they won.
yeah.
They're like, oh man, it's just not fair. Yeah. So it's
Yep.
okay. It's okay. This is me feeling sorry for him.
Yeah.
Final thoughts before we head on out of here. You said you're kind of down on them for the year and they could win a wild card. What do you think is the most realistic scenario that come not the take the fan hat off for a couple seconds. What's the realistic scenario for the Mets this year?
I mean, I think they're probably going to struggle, especially. I mean, the pitching. You know, like I said, I like these guys for fantasy, but again, end of the day, you're talking about Jose Quintana, Sean Manaea. You know, these guys are going to play a big part for this team this year. I think the offense is going to bounce back. I think you're going to see Pete have a huge year. Alvarez, you know, Frankie. They have. I think offensively, they're going to be fine. It's really just the pitching. I think they, you know, they're betting on a lot of things going right, you know, on that staff. So that's going to be what kind of makes or breaks their season. If these guys, you know, pitch to their, you know, the upper range of their outcomes, then they're definitely going to be a team that can contend. So, to me, that comes down to that pitching staff and what we, you know, what kind of production we actually get from them.
All right, well, I can't wait to see it. Should be a fun one. It's a fun division, the NL East. Lots of
Oh yeah.
interesting teams over there that they all have their talented sections of the team. They're not all the Atlanta Braves, unfortunately, but the Braves are beatable. So
They are.
it should be a fun season out East, and we'll see where it goes. But my friend, thanks for joining me. Always a pleasure chatting with you, and we'll have to do this again once my previews are done and get ready for another fantasy baseball season.
Sounds good, Bubba, and thank you again for having me. You're one of my favorites. You know that,
For sure.
so
Yep.
appreciate that. Yep.
Always, my friend. Make sure y'all check him out on Twitter at the underscore guilds. Fun follow, sharp as hell. Baseball, football, you name it. Like, really check him
Well,
out and
not so
see.
much football, but yeah,
Yeah,
baseball.
it happens.
Football
But
is the
yeah. But
yeah.
if anything, he'll throw tweets out there that make you laugh, can make you think a little. So go enjoy him, learn some things, and we'll catch you guys next time. This was Bench with Bubba, episode 638, your New York Mets team preview. Catch y'all next time.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to keepitfunohio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.